This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, folks. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bites. This afternoon, I'm in the studio with...
Arvini Viraj.
And Christine Wong.
I have no idea. I almost said I'm in the story with... Yeah, I
mean, this is a story.
We're all
in the stories of our own lives.
Why did I think that, though? That's something very strange. Anyway, if you'd like to get in touch with the show today, get us via WhatsApp. If you want to take part in the story and the discussion, 01878988899. Twitter or Instagram, as usual, we're at BFM Radio. We've got a poll running on Twitter. What's the question that we're asking today, Arvind?
We're asking, do you think online courses are as effective as in-person classes? The options are very simple, yes, no, only for some subjects.
And the reason we're talking about that is because we're asking is whether or not binge learning is the next big thing. We'll be talking about that very shortly. Christine will be talking about...
I'll be talking about Kedai Buku Shopee, which is basically that you can buy textbooks on Shopee now.
Arvin will be wrapping up with...
TikTok and how they're expanding to TV.
We also managed to get in touch with a lecturer from Taylor's University as well. She's also a documentarian. Her name is Indrani Gopal. She also helped to bolster her English language skills by watching movies, TV and film. And that kind of links into the whole thing that we're talking about right now, which is how television and film are two of the most important communication mediums developed in the past 100 years. They inform local cultures and define how we view the world around us. They also open a window to different parts of the world that can be experienced by anyone, anywhere. But with all these benefits, why haven't they been used more proactively for learning languages? If you look at stuff like Sesame Street, for example, when I was a kid, they... And I suspect when you two were kids as well, because it's been running a long time. They do a lot of numbers, they do words and a few other bits and pieces, but really they don't concentrate so much on language. So we're going to explore that a little bit. But there's at least one company now taking advantage of this opportunity. They're called, now I'm not going to pronounce this right, I guess, but I want to pronounce it as Lingopie.
But
it probably isn't pronounced Lingopie, but that's what I'm going to pronounce it as. Now, they've become the first company to connect the intrigue of language learning with cultural film and TV. So they believe learners can overcome communication barriers when the process is easy and designed around their existing interests. Arvin, I'm looking directly at you. So there are sure to be more companies, obviously, following the lead. And here are three telltale signs innovation in this space is kind of just getting started. So many international English speakers learn via live television. So when you ask people worldwide how they learned English, many will say from their experience with American or European TV shows and movies. And now even more English learners are using television programming to learn other languages as well. It's the power of this unique communication channel that allows people to understand and relate to a different culture. Next, subscription video on demand popularity continues to gain momentum. Subscription video on demand, SVOD technology, has allowed us to view content from around the world, and we can now watch as much or as little as we want on our own schedule. So by the year 2025, global subscription video on demand is expected to surpass 1.1 billion. And with the COVID-19 pandemic requiring many students to migrate to online learning, SVOD technology is already being used for more than entertainment as we head into 2021. I'm going to clear my throat. Hang on a second. Right. The opportunities to use this tech for teaching students is unprecedented, and we're only at the beginning of this curve. Next on. Further globalization means language skills are in high demand. Recent data from the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages shows that U.S. employers are losing business opportunities because they can't find employees who can communicate in languages other than English. More than 84% of businesses polled listed Spanish as the most in-demand language for English speakers to learn. As globalization continues to widen our access to other cultures, not speaking different languages may be the final barrier to exchanging ideas and information. And in 2021, the most productive business owners and decision makers will break through these communication barriers by learning a new language and genuinely connecting with clients, employees, and the greater community. So, I briefly showed Christine, I think, this website for Lingopie. And they currently teach courses in Spanish and French, and they're opening up to German and a few other different languages a little bit later on. But what you can do is essentially you watch one of your favorite TV shows. And the example that I showed Chris was Money Heist. And so effectively what you do is you watch it scene by scene, and then they give you flashcards based on particular scenes and use it in context of everyday conversation so you can learn that way. And at the end of that episode, it gives you a little test. And you pay to kind of take part in this learning language online, watching your favorite TV shows.
How are they linking to Netflix, though? Like, how do they sync up with
you? You follow along. You have it on your laptop. You watch Netflix. It's like, pause at this point, rewind at this point. I think it's quite smart, actually. Mm-hmm.
It is quite smart.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say that I've been watching a lot of content on Netflix that are in different languages. So mainly Korean and Japanese, because there's so much like sci-fi, zombie content that I love. And I'm not saying by no means do I know any of those languages, but it's interesting when you can sort of follow along and not rely on subtitles as much once you get used to the way they speak and how they speak, right? So I guess that's like the first step. And then the second step would be like learning the words themselves and knowing what they mean. But that just that, you know, first couple of episodes, you look a lot at subtitles. Third, fourth episode, you kind of only look down sporadically. Mm. And then by fifth, sixth, you know what's happening without having to look down at the subtitles themselves. The meaning might not be as accurate, but you get used to the language itself, which I guess is why things like this work, right?
Yeah. The only time I've been super confused sometimes, when I used to go to the cinema here and there'd be subtitles underneath an English language movie and there'd be Malay, there'd be Tamil, there'd be Chinese. I'd be sat there like half of the screen at the bottom with subtitles. I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been watching an awful lot of foreign films. And people have told me for a long time the way that they've learned the language is by watching foreign movies. It's not something that's new, but I think it's kind of adding a subscription service to it. I think it's a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think this is also particularly interesting when you take into account which languages that they're choosing to focus on, because languages like Japanese and Korean, for example, you can maybe pick up on you know, how the words are pronounced, but you know, when it comes to, for example, reading, that's a whole other ballgame,
whole other
right?
Thing, yeah.
My kind of anecdote on this is that my family also watches quite a few K-dramas now. We always thought we were never going to be those people, and then we became those people immediately. I also downloaded the Duolingo app, and I was like, hey, I'm going to check out the Korean course and see if I can pick up some Korean. And it's a completely different ballgame, because it starts to teach you like vowels and consonants and stuff. And it's like completely separate from, you know, how you hear them speak, obviously, right?
So yes.
So that is a kind of a barrier. But on Duolingo as well, I've also been picking up German. And I've been doing that now for about like 300 days straight. I would not say that I can speak German, but I can read a fair bit. So it's kind of, you know, I think with this format, it may be easier for, you know, for, I guess, if you're familiar with the rough approximation of the alphabet already, then maybe that might work a bit easier for those languages. But for Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Thai, that might be a bit more of a stretch.
I mean, we've just got to look at the way in which the world is evolving, and how globalization now is so very different to just what it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the interviews that I've done this week, and I'm speaking to a company just the other day that, you know, formed a company without actually ever meeting one another. And the amount of languages that are being managed during that, in that whole process, 120 different accounts they're looking after in many different countries. And I think to myself, and I'm quite ashamed, you know, a lot of the times, that really my language skills are lacking, you know, and I look at most Malaysians 2 days after they're born are speaking two languages, you know.
bilingual by default.
I mean, I also get that, because I'm like also Malaysian, but my Malay and Chinese are awful, because I didn't really take the time as a child to put the effort into learning them properly.
Right. So. And I genuinely wish at my school that they would have really come down harder on language, and they didn't. And yeah, that's an educational issue, isn't it? But anyway, enough on that. Let us know what you think. Do you think online courses, whether or not they're language or whatever they are as effective as in-person classes? Why or why not? Let us know. Get in the poll. It's happening over on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can also answer us on Instagram as well. And if you want to take part of the discussion, 018-789-8899. We're going to take a short break with some meatloaf. You took the words right out of my mouth here on BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM
89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
We're talking about education and specifically online courses and whether or not they're as effective as in-person classes. We have a poll running on Twitter. What are the numbers, Arv?
The numbers are at 51% for no, not as effective. Only for some subjects, 42.2, and yes for 5.4, which is a tiny percentage.
Tiny percentage. What over on Instagram, Chris?
So on Instagram, we also have a poll running, but it's just yes or no. And yes is at 8% and no is at a whopping 92%.
Okay, give us some of the tweets, Arv, please.
Some tweets. This is from Chieftat, who says, depends on the teacher. Also, if interaction is encouraged, people learn better in safe environment where there are no silly questions. Gurpreet Singh says, as someone who is teaching high schoolers and pre-U students, I can confirm that there is no replacement for to the physical class. Mm-hmm. And Zane Abrams says, think hybrid.
Think hybrid. Mm-hmm. Okay, Zane Abrams, tell us a bit more about this hybrid thinking. Mm-hmm. Chris.
So Vincent Tan says, nobody knows what the students are doing behind the screen. Professor Loredana says, I am a professor, a very, very good one, but it's not even close because it's so hard to connect. And Alicia99 says, not really. It can be really hard to concentrate with online courses, but I guess we have to accept it.
A couple of messages here on WhatsApp, number ending 5145. Virtual is effective too, if compared to face-to-face. I'm a trainer myself, and I kind of like the virtual. I can include virtual games, quizzes to make it more fun for participants. The best is there's less cost incurred. I don't have to travel. I can just be in my room with a little bit of makeup and a nice virtual background.
Aww.
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Right. So what have you two learned anything, apart from Duolingo, have you been learning anything online, in attending any classes or anything like that?
No, I want to say yes, but no. That's the honest answer. Yeah, just straight up no.
Same here. I feel as though I don't have a leg to stand on to talk about it.
YouTube
you know?
Tutorials don't count, right?
Like, I don't think, if that's the case, then I've learned a lot. But they don't.
I've binge learned then.
What have you been binge learning on YouTube?
I don't know. Like what tutorials do you want to... how things in Photoshop, things in Illustrator, stuff like that.
Well, I guess so then in some... No. Not letting you have that. No. Chris?
No.
You?
I just mostly have Duolingo. That's really the main thing that I've been doing. But I've also been... it's been going okay.
Okay. Right. I managed to speak to somebody yesterday. Arv, I believe you spoke to her before at some point in the past.
On Popcorn Culture, yeah.
On Popcorn Culture. Indrani Kopal, she's a lecturer over at Taylor's University. She's an internationally acclaimed director of award-winning documentaries. She made She's My Son, The Game Changer, and recently debuted Incarcerated Rhythm here in Malaysia. She's also someone who bolstered her English language learning by watching movies. So I spoke with her, and this is what we said. First of all, Indrani... what exactly did you watch to help you pick up English?
I studied at a private university, staying in a hostel and didn't have many friends except my roommates then. So it was then when I started to going to cinema alone and binged on English movies. So I guess that's how I slowly started to gain confidence to speak the language. I watch American drama genre because they use more day-to-day conversations. So when you learn any language, one of the tools they ask you to do is watching films in the language, or if you're lucky, live in a country and surround yourself with the people who are native to that language. Lucky for me, I actually tried both and they were great. They really helped me a lot.
Indrani, how long did it take you to be comfortable speaking in English?
I can't say even now if I'm very comfortable speaking the language or even if it's as fluent as I could write sometimes. I always question if I got a sentence correct without making any grammatical errors, you know. Even now, it's almost impossible. I don't know if I'm as comfortable as I would be when I converse in Tamil or Bahasa. But I'm definitely a lot more confident now and I'm no longer shy to make mistakes and learn from them. I think that's what's changed at this point. To get here, it was 20 years journey. And the last 10 years was very crucial because I was fortunate to travel and to study in a country where they only spoke the language, you know. And I realized I spoke more fluently when I was abroad. Because day in, day out, you hear how words are correctly pronounced, thoughts are expressed clearly, And they use this incredible vocabulary, and you always learn new vocabularies every day. Shockingly, actually, coming back, I realized I can lose the fluency if I don't practice. So I found that very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And would a piece of software then that helps you learn a second language while binging a TV show interest you, and why?
Well, about the software, yeah, absolutely. When I see some of my students from China struggle with the language, I know exactly how they feel. And I actually would recommend anything, movies, a language app, a writing app, anything at all that could help them to get over that wall or that challenge. Movies and TV shows help me. Writing apps like Grammarly gives me a lot of confidence to write for academic and official writing. I'm not sure how effective software would be because it takes a lot of effort and practice to express correctly. After all, as a non-native speaker, you think in one language and then you're trying to articulate it in another. So you can never be natural, you know. So as long as I can express them correctly, I'm happy. And I love my Tamil influence in my speaking, in my English, and I don't think I want to change that.
Okay, so if you could use this app to learn any other language, what do you think it would be?
About another language that I would use this app for, definitely Spanish. If I get to master one more language, it would be Spanish. I know I should say Chinese, or I should say something, you know, very more regional, but I fell in love with Spanish. When I was traveling in that part of region one time, I was in San Miguel de Allende and spent some few months there to edit a film. And I remember I picked a language very quickly when I was just walking around the market and shopping for things. The Diaz Vibos, they just came out of me, you know. So Spanish definitely would be the language I'd probably revisit again.
Last question, Indrani. Were there specific types of shows or movies that you feel helped you learn quicker?
I do love dramas, but of late I found TED Talks fascinating, probably because where I am in my career at this point, and you won't believe it, cooking shows are fun because I pick up so many new words and ways of doing things and how to express them. There's so many things in my kitchen that I know them in Tamil, I know them in Bahasa, but, you know, I still have to look up what they mean in English. So also any conversations around food are always great because they allow us to express creatively, I think. So, yeah.
Thanks, Indrani. She's an internationally acclaimed director of award-winning documentaries. Check them out. She's My Son, The Game Changer, and the recently debuted Incarcerated Rhythm here in Malaysia. That's what we're talking about today. Do you think online courses are as effective as in-person classes? Why or why not? Let us know. We have a poll over on Twitter. That's at BFM Radio. Instagram, of course, also at BFM Radio. And if you want to take part in the conversation, 018-789-8899 over on WhatsApp. We've got messages coming in on WhatsApp, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. We're going to take a short break with some music from John Lennon. And when we come back, we'll have an update from Bursa at break, courtesy of Arvin here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.